With friends and strangers, with family and neighbors, we gather. Come among us, healing God. With love which never ends, with faith reaching out to touch, with hearts straining to trust, we hope. Come among us, friend of the broken, with your compassion which makes us whole, with word and wonder, with silence and song, we wait. Come among us, dryer of tears, to lift us to our feet to follow you.
Good morning. Would you please stand to sing our first song, please?
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we as we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. as we came, O Lord. We'll be blessed because we came. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came, O Lord. We'll be blessed because we came.
Good morning. Are there any guests with us today that would like to be introduced? No? Well, if not, welcome here, everyone. Now, if all the kids would like to come to the front, Ingrid White has a children's story for you.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Today in church, the grown-ups are going to be talking about something. It's about crying. We're going to talk about crying. How many of you have ever cried? Yeah. Did you know that grown-ups cry, too? Yeah, what makes you guys cry? What makes you cry? Wow, nothing makes you cry? Rhea? When you hurt yourselves, yes. So I think you can all remember falling down and hurting your knee. That happens to everybody. And that makes you cry. What else? Alyssa? When someone else hurts you, yes. I think if you have a brother or a sister, that has probably happened to you. Jalen? You sometimes cry because you're happy. That happens a lot, too, thank goodness. How about, oh, yes, Jean. When something sad happens, yes. And I can remember a time, I think I was probably just starting to be a teenager, and I was doing something at the front of the church, and I made a mistake. And as soon as I walked through that door, guess what I did? I cried because I was so embarrassed. So there are lots of reasons to cry, right? Did you know that Jesus cried too? The shortest verse in the Bible, if anyone ever asks you to quote scripture, you can say, Jesus wept. So that means Jesus cried. He cried for many reasons, and there's at least three that we're going to talk about today. He cried when he prayed for others. So, like Alyssa said, somebody said, when you're feeling sorry for somebody or feeling bad for someone else, he cried because he was thinking about other people. He also cried when he saw that people were missing out on what God wanted for them. So, that sometimes happens. I think that's some of the reasons maybe that parents sometimes cry is when they see their kids doing things that maybe weren't good choices and they wish that they could help them and stuff like that. So Jesus cried for that too. And he also cried when his friends were sad. And Jesus had a friend named Lazarus that was very sick and his friend died. And then Jesus cried then too. So one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth for us was so that he could know what it was like to be us. So he knows what we feel like when we're crying. Now, everyone in this building has fallen down and skinned their knee. So when you're a very little person and it happens to you for the first time and someone says, "Oh, that happened to me, but it's going to feel better soon," does that make you feel better? Not really, but at least you can think, it's going to get better. This happened to someone else. It's going to get better. So that's kind of one reason that we can feel better. We all cry, and I'm glad that Jesus cried too. I'm glad that he loves us so much that he hurts when we are hurting. He feels our pain. He sees our tears. And now we can pray. Dear Jesus, it is comforting to know that when we cry, you cry with us. But it is even more comforting to know that you have power over death and the grave, and that one day we will be in heaven with you, and then there will be no more tears. Amen. And now you guys can go off to Sunday school. Have a good time.
This next song is one that is near and dear to my heart, to Ed and Adina's hearts. It's one that Stephen sang a lot while Adina was going through her treatment for cancer.
As I lift my eyes to the hills and their creator, who made all heaven and earth, he watches me, never sleeps and never slumbers, he's ever over me. As I come and I go, I'm safe, for I know that his grace is sufficient for me. Winter warmth and light, and a shady place in summer, he's ever over me. As I lift my eyes to the hills and their creator, who made all heaven and earth, he watches me, never sleeps and never slumbers, he's ever over me. As I come and I go, I'm safe, for I know that his grace is sufficient for me. Winter warmth and light, and a shady place in summer, he's ever over me. He's ever over me. He's ever over me.
I'd like to take a moment to highlight a few of the announcements in the bulletin today. First, I'd like to highlight number 4, that the Mission Choir will not be singing Epitania on January 12th. I'd also like to highlight that on Saturday, the 24th, we will be having our annual general meeting, and reports will be in your mailboxes by the 18th. And then also, on January 25th, we will be having a parent-child dedication, as well as new member acceptance. And on that same day, at 10:30 before the service, we'll be holding a kitchen training session. So for anyone who's interested in learning how to work the kitchen, please come to that. And one announcement I'd like to highlight from the larger church is that once again, we'll be having a Festival of Prayer service January 18th to 25th, 2015, to mark the week of prayer for Christian unity. And this will be happening at various churches across the city. And if you want more information about that, there's a poster on the back there and on the information board up here, too. And then Jeff has an announcement.
Good morning again. Which announcement is it that I'm... I know which one I'm talking about, but I don't know the number. It doesn't matter. Next Sunday, Next Saturday and Sunday is going to be a really special time in our church. On Saturday, we have Christine Longhurst that is going to be here. She's an educator at CMU that is just an outstanding musician and theologian. I've been to a couple of her workshops at CMU, and they're just it's just amazing. She's got an encyclopedic memory for music. Then on Sunday, starting at 10:30, so please make note of that time change. So starting at 10:30, we have Steve Bell that will be joining us in our worship service. So 10:30 start to, he will be doing, call it a prelude, but welcome you all to be here at 10:30 for that start. Our normal service will start at 11 with Christine Longhurst providing the sermon that day. So welcome you all here, and think that it will be a wonderful Sunday.
Does anyone else have any announcements they'd like to share? If not, then, oh.
I'd like to thank everyone who prayed for us and sent your well wishes and the wonderful cards we received today in regards to my mother-in-law's passing. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
On that note, let's move into some sharing time. I'm going to start with a few things out of the bulletin. First off, condolences go out to Elizabeth, Phil, Astrid, Jacob Franz Workington, Henry and Elfrida Dick, John and Helen Zacharias, James and Kim Zacharias, Rob and Shauna Zacharias, Carissa and Mike Godfrey, and their families and friends on the passing of their mother, grandmother, sister, and aunt, Anna Franz, at age 76 on January 9th. The funeral will be held here this Friday at 11 a.m. We extend our sincere sympathies and pray for God's comfort for the family. And then on another note, Henry and Elfrida Dick would like to thank everyone for the prayers, calls, visits, and well wishes received since Henry had his surgery last week. They are greatly appreciated. And on a happy note, Jonathan and Allison Weens would like to announce the birth of their second son. Samuel is now big brother to Bennett Frank Weens and was born on January 3rd, 2015. We thank God for this blessing and ask that he continue to be with the family and grant them new joy in the gifts of this life. Does anyone else have anything they would like to share?
I'd like to thank the prayer shawl ministry. John and I received prayer shawls, and they're really beautiful. And I'd like to ask for prayer support because John has to start chemo on Thursday. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to share anything? If not, then please bow with me for prayer. We thank you, O God, that you have given us an enduring hope, one which cannot disappoint or mislead us. We thank you that through our faith in you and your Son, Jesus Christ, you enter into every believing heart and make new lives that have been torn asunder by the darkness of this world. We pray today, O God, that those believers who are asleep may awake and know that salvation is nearer now than when they first believed. Help them and us to lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light that you bestow upon those who actively seek you day by day. Grant that their faith and ours may be fully alive. We ask today, O God, for those who have lost hope and for those who have never had it. Grant to us and to those we lift before you in our hearts a new and abiding vision of what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do to save and redeem your people and creation itself. Grant, O God, that all might see and believe and discover their purpose and the purpose of all that is and all that is yet to be. We lift before you, O God, those who are in hospital, those who are in personal care homes, and those who are undergoing sickness at home. We ask all of this of you, O God, knowing that you are our hope and our salvation, a very present help in times of trouble. the one whose purpose is to grant a new and abundant life to us and to our world. Praise be your name. Amen. And now Jeff will play for us while we take the offering.
I'm not really playing for you. I'm praying for the worship service, for all of us, for our hearts, and praising God. So I'm not playing for you. So please sing along with me. This is Amazing Grace, the first. And the beauty of Amazing Grace is it's got many, many verses. So every time I play this song, or we play this song as praise and worship, I pick out the verses that seem to suit the occasion. So.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Please rise for our next song.
I love to free me, O Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness. Come rescue me, O Lord. You are my hope, your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. Oh, I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. Oh, I am weak, I need your love to free me. Oh, Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness. Come rescue me, oh, Lord. You are my hope, your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. Oh, I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me.
Today's scripture reading comes from the Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18 and 23 to 24. You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now I'd like to invite Gary and Ed up to the front to share with us.
Morning, Ed.
Morning, Gary.
Thanks for coming.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
One of the tasks of the worship committee is to invite you, the congregation, to worship. Now, worship is about God, and so, first of all, and so we're continuing to look at what we can talk about that helps all of us to open our eyes a little wider and say, look at how amazing God is. And part of the way that we do that is we take a look at who we are and the things that stand between us. And so sometimes we talk about things that we call sin and the things that get in our way and how we set them aside. But very often we talk about how, as followers of Jesus, we live our lives and in the midst of the world with all the bumps that it has. And so the worship committee has decided that maybe it's time for us to have a series that we're going to call Faith in Daily Struggles. And so we're going to spread them out a little bit. We don't want to get overwhelming, but over the next, between now and next summer, or this coming summer, we want to take a look at a number of topics. Today, we're going to look at chronic pain. And Ed's going to be sharing with us, and we're going to have a bit of a dialogue here. In coming weeks, we're going to look at some of the other struggles of life. We're going to talk about faith when our finances collapse, faith when we have mental illness, faith when we have self-esteem issues or depression or marital struggles, faith when we recognize our aging and our coming deaths. So some pretty down-to-earth kind of topics, and we're addressing these for a number of reasons. One of them is God truly cares about our lives, and we need to know how do we, as followers of Jesus, embrace these parts of our life that are very real. And so we want to talk about that, and today, in a few minutes, we're going to ask Ed to share his story, and we'll be talking a little bit about that, about what the story is for us to understand, but also how do we embrace faith when we go through difficult times. But it's also, we're a church family. And one of the important things for us at North Kildonan Mennonite Church is for us to care for each other and to hold hands. And for us to do that, we need to know what's going on. The topic of pain specifically is incredibly broad. And I'm sure that part of Ed's story will touch you, or you'll know people that connect with it. And your story may be a little different, and we hope that this is helpful. Before I ask Ed to share, I'd like to ask that you would bow with me as we pray and ask that God would give us wisdom, that God would give Ed a sense of calm as he shares with us. Let's pray. Healing God, we come to you this morning knowing that you care so deeply for us in our lives. We know that you care for us in whatever situation we are, and while we wish everything would be good and all the struggles and pain of life would go away, they don't. And so we walk with them, and we are grateful that you walk with us and grateful that you have given us each other to walk together. This morning, as Ed shares with us, give him a sense of strength and joy in what he's sharing and a freedom as he comes to share his story and invite us to consider what he goes through and also what it means for to invite you to walk with us. Difficulties of life. Amen. So Ed, I'd like to invite you to share a little of your story, and then we'll talk together after that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I when this bit about coming forth and sharing came up a number of months ago, I just always kept making excuses and putting it off. And since then, the Holy Spirit has constantly been nudging me in different ways. And, finally, I guess about 2 weeks ago, when Gary came up with this series, then, I know I could still always have said no, but for some reason I couldn't say no anymore. And so, then for the next 2 weeks, I actually really struggled with why am I doing this, and I can just honestly say that the Holy Spirit has just been so working within me and just feeding me words of wisdom, and I guess the bottom line is that we are all on a journey, and we all experience different things in our journey, in our walk with God, or our lack of walk with God, as was in my case. And we each have special gifts that we can give to God. Some of us don't. I haven't found any special gift, but the one thing that I did realize is that I do have a voice, and we are asked to be a voice for God. Whatever our circumstances, we can all be a voice for God. And so that's the reason why I'm up here. And I guess it's just my hope that whatever I say will have an effect on somebody and hopefully help them to not make the same mistake that I made. So just to give a little bit of context as to where this all started from, I was 18 years old. It was December, a cold December day. And I guess I must have just woken up to a backache, and I just figured, well, it's just muscles. I'm working on construction, and so I kept, you know, just pampering myself, trying to look after it, except it kept getting worse. And so then finally I started seeking medical attention for that, but just kept getting worse and worse, and nobody could really figure out why this was happening. I mean, they knew my discs were deteriorating, but for the actual cause of pain, nobody could really figure it out. And as time went on, the pain just kept getting worse, and I just kept getting more into seeing doctors and chiropractors and therapists and you name it. And my sole goal in life was to be free of the pain. And that's exactly what I did. That was my sole goal in life. I forgot about God. I forgot about my family. I forgot about my friends. I just built a box around myself with trying to get rid of this pain. And it just never happened. I've had 4 back surgeries. I've had countless number of needles that have been stuck in my back. And I guess one of the worst parts of it all is I had to slowly give up pieces of my life that I knew I couldn't do anymore. Like, for example, one of the first things that I had to give up, I loved baseball. And every year our church would have their annual baseball game with the olds versus young. And I could hardly wait until I could get onto the young team. But when it was my turn to get onto the young team, I couldn't. I couldn't even throw a ball anymore because it just hurt too much, or even bat for as far as that goes. And then slowly pieces of my life just started falling away because I just couldn't do them anymore, which made me search for that ever elusive, gotta find that right doctor, gotta find that right treatment to take away the pain. But it just never happened. And like I say, I just totally left God out of the picture. And a lot of this I didn't realize until later on, but, then about 31 months ago, something actually really incredible happened. I mean, I look at it as incredible. But I all of a sudden on a Friday morning, I received what felt like a sharp knife just stabbing me in my lower spine and totally incapacitating me. I was on the lawn and I just barely made it into the house, and that was it. And that was pretty well my life for the next 2+ years, I couldn't do anything or hardly anything. I kept trying, but, it was just a really horrible time. But that night when I went to bed, something absolutely wonderful happened. I was laying there in pain, and I just, all of a sudden, I just started talking to God, which I hadn't done in years. And all my anger, all my frustration, everything just melted away. It was gone. And that's when my journey with God really started. That's when I gave my life to Jesus for real. And I have been growing ever since. I still have my ups and downs, but I have more ups than I have downs. And I just started searching in God's Word and just praying that God teaches me what He wants me to learn. And every day I just spend time in the Bible, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what He has been able to teach me. And I have learned so much from it. And I have to be careful that I don't fall into the trap of regretting all those past years, all those 40 years that I just basically wasted. I lost friends. I lost family. I lost Adina for a while there, because there was just no connection from me at all. I just kept myself in a box. And this just awakened me. And our marriage is just flourishing now again. We still can't go out and do all the things everybody else does, but we're growing within ourselves. And that in itself is absolutely wonderful.
Well, thanks so much, Ed. What I'd like to do, if you're okay with this, is you and I have talked about this quite a bit in preparation for today. And there have been a lot of things come up, and I'd like to just kind of ask you a few questions. And if I ask anything too personal, just pass on it, of course. And I do appreciate you being vulnerable for us. I'd like to ask you a few questions about chronic pain to help us understand what you're going through. And for those here who are going through chronic pain as well, and many of us do as we get older, there's a pain that doesn't go away. To give them a bit of a sense, and also for people to know how to better respond to you. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. So I was thinking about our dialogues and scribbled a few things down and that you had mentioned, and so I'd like to just kind of float those by you. Now, chronic pain is defined as pain that lingers for over 6 months in some places, a pain that interrupts or interferes with our life. There's lots of different definitions. The pain can be both physical and psychological or a mixture. We won't get into that today. Just want to take a look at how this has impacted your life. So one of the things that you talked about and you mentioned this morning was a sense of loss that comes with this for you. What kind of loss, like you've mentioned, loss of baseball, what kind of losses have you experienced in your life?
Losses in the sense of activities that I used to do just became too difficult. I can't go out for long periods of time. I can't stay on my feet for very long. So you know, any activities that require you to be out for longer, I just simply haven't been able to do that. The longer I'm up, the worse the pain gets. So I unfortunately have to say just simply no to a lot of activities, you know, whatever they may be. In my case, the pain is in the spine. Now, I don't know what it's like if somebody has knee pain or hip pain, but I know with the spine pain, you never get rest. You can sit and you can be in pain. You can stand and be in pain. And you can lay down, and even though that's the preferable way, but you still have pain even when you're laying down. It's the constant pressure that that affects the pain. And so, you know, just for Adina and myself to go out for an evening is a very difficult time. And so we do that very, very seldom. So that's not just a loss for me, but it's also a loss for Adina, because, you know, we're partners in life. And I guess that's the one thing that I just never realized until these past 2 years, when I decided to make a conscious change to allow Jesus to be in my life. And to depend on Him for everything. And it then also made me realize just how much Adina has had to suffer through all of this also. And it's not good. In fact, now when people say that, you know, they pray for me, I also in turn ask them to pray for Adina because she needs it just as much as I do.
So this has impacted your life, but it's also impacted hers, and it's great to see your children here today.
Yeah.
It has affected your whole family.
Yeah, yeah.
No, one of the things, when you talk about the things you can't do, has this brought a sense of loss in terms of friends? Do people connect with you less? Do people come over less?
But I guess the reason why is because I didn't make the effort to contact them. I didn't make the effort. Like I said, I built myself a box and I stayed in that box. And I got two friends sitting in the pew here right now that have been just absolutely wonderful. Cause when I went and I woke up from my box and just blew it out of the way, these friends were still sitting there waiting for me, and they just picked up, as if all those years weren't there. So, you know, it was my fault. Everything was my fault. And I'm the one who did that. But then I also made the conscious effort, the consciousness to change my life, to allow Jesus to take over my life. And that's when everything started to change for the better. Didn't take the pain away, but it sure made it easier to bear.
I'm sorry, Ed, but we can't let you take the blame for all of this. we all make choices about when we call people, and I think very often when people aren't sure, you know, the last three times they've called, you weren't able to, then after a while they stop calling too, I would imagine. One of the things that struck me when we were chatting the other day was you talked about how there was an awareness of a new normal. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, after so many years of searching for that elusive pain relief, there was one point where the doctor at the pain clinic, he just pulled up a chair and sat in front of me, and he just simply said, "Ed," said, "there is absolutely nothing more we can do for you." He says, "We have done everything that we have in our arsenal, and there's nothing more that we can do." And surgery was no longer an option either, because it just wasn't working. And it was then that I realized that, wow, I guess my searching has to stop now. And what do I do with that? Well, that's when you start picking up pieces of your old life. I started, doing the things that I can do, with, you know, helping Adina around the house, with whatever I can do. And I just started picking up little things that I can do. And everything that I do in blocks of time, but I do get certain chores done. And that certainly helped my self-esteem a lot.
There's, some interesting material on the web that I read, and, people were talking about how when they finally said, rather than "I'm a poor excuse of what I used to be, I'm a new me and I start here,"
yeah,
which is what I heard you say the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask a little bit about your experience with the medical community. Most of us, when we have a problem, we say, go to the doctors and get it fixed.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you've been to a lot of medical people and you've been to pain clinics. And have you felt respected and that they listened to what you were saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, yes. I can't believe the number of things that they tried that inflicted more pain on me. But, you know, sometimes you have to get more pain in order to get relief from the pain. Unfortunately, none of them ever worked. In fact, since 18 years old, I have never experienced a day without pain. There is always some amount of pain. Some days it's better than others. Some days it's worse than others. But that pain has never gone away. But yes, they tried. The only thing is that as my focus was on getting pain relief, that was their focus to try and give me pain relief. But what we all ended up forgetting about was that there's another side to the person. There's the mental and the emotional side of the person. And that seems to be forgotten about. I did have the opportunity. It worked out. I had a breakdown. I got set up through the company that I had worked for to see a Christian, I guess, psychologist or whatever he was. I kind of forget. And he was telling me what we needed to work on, and that was me being able to cope with the pain. And my mindset was still so focused on pain relief that I just simply walked out of that appointment when it was over, and I says, I don't want to come back here anymore because he is not going to be able to give me pain relief. Yet he wanted to work with all of me, and I missed it. I missed it. And it would have been, looking back now, it would have been so helpful. So for anybody who's going through any kind of chronic pain, I have to tell you, it wears on the brain. It just wears on the brain. It wears on the nerves. And I fell into 3 years of terrible depression. It took me 3 years to get out of that. You know, I still didn't get that help that I needed. But I've now gotten that help through my relationship with God.
Yeah, I noticed just before we came up here, you had a handful of pills, and those are things that help you get through your day.
Yeah.
So you're grateful for the medical community.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We were chatting a little bit, and there are a lot of people in our community who do live with chronic pain. People with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, irritable bowel syndrome, back pain, and a lot of people with degenerative diseases. And as we age, sometimes arthritis, there are so many things where the pain, like you were saying, it's like driving your car to the to the service station saying, fix it. And when we come back, we want new brakes. And the doctors can't always give us new brakes.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Impacting others. You mentioned a little bit about how this has been, I'll use a stronger word than you used, this has been hard for Adina.
Yeah.
And it's been now with your spiritual renewal that you've been able to find a connection outside of that. Even with church, you're not able to come every Sunday. And I was thinking, how do we as a church respond? Today we're standing to sing, and you can't, or it's very difficult. Lots of little things. Thankfully, we have an elevator. You can get in. Are there other things that we as a church could do that would be helpful by way of accommodating or by way of understanding?
Well, accommodating, I don't know how much more can be done. I guess, you know, if there's other people that are in wheelchairs or have difficult climbing stairs, you know, it would be nice to have a little ramp here, you know, so that they can get on the stage. But other than that, the worst thing with chronic pain is that you're limited to what you can do, depending on what that pain is. And for me, well, because it's in the spine, it encompasses everything that I do. So for me, serving in church was always very important. But I just can't do anything. The sound department has been just absolutely wonderful in that regard. It's maybe not a terribly big thing, but I'm told that it saves Paul a lot of work. I upload the services onto the web, it doesn't take a lot of time, but it's a service that I can do, and it helps me to feel connected with the church. And I guess That's what's really important, is being able to still do some things within the church that help you to feel that you're still contributing to the church in one way or another.
I found that interesting, the way you worded that, that how wonderful it was that they gave you some work to do. I was going to say, our annual meeting's coming up. We've got a few positions to fill. Remember that. One of the things that we want to do today is to invite people to connect with you. So are there things that people, that are helpful when people say, and things that aren't helpful for when people say them?
Well, nobody's ever said this to me, but, you know, I guess one of the things is I understand what you're going through. I think people may say that often. You know, even at the loss of a loved one, I understand. I've lost both my parents, so it's easy for me to say I know what you're going through. But the reality is, I only sort of know. I don't really know, because everybody has a different personality, and everybody deals with loss in their own way. So just to be there and just say you care about them. Ask if they want to talk about it. And if not, then you just leave it and you just go on your way then. You know, and just let them know that you're there for them whenever, you know, and that you're going to pray for them. And that's the other thing too. If you say you're going to pray for somebody, make sure that you do pray for that person. What I do when I say that I'm going to pray for somebody, I have my prayer list. It's about a page and a half long already. And when I say I'm going to pray for somebody, I go home and I write that name down on my list. And then I pray. Praying is something that I can do. I can do that every day. I do my Bible reading and then I do my prayer list. And that I do every single day. And every person that's on my prayer list gets prayed for. So when you do say that you're going to pray for somebody, make sure that you do. The other thing is, I was going to say, I forgot. If you're going to ask somebody whether you know if they have a problem or not, an illness or not, but if you go to them and ask them, like, how are you doing? For me, I give an honest answer. I feel that if you're asking me how I am doing, I'm going to give you an honest answer. And if you don't like that kind of an answer, then don't ask that anymore. You know, but if you're going to ask, how are you doing? Be prepared that that person will give you an honest answer. That is very, very important, because how else can people know what you're going through if you don't tell them? And how else are people going to be able to pray for you if you don't tell them what's going on in your life?
So are you okay if people come up to you and say, Ed, how are you?
Absolutely. And you're going to get an honest answer from me. Yeah, you'll always get an honest answer.
I read an article about a person was talking about things people say they wish they hadn't, and she wished they hadn't, and one of them was, you look so good, you must be doing okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Granted, maybe on that particular day, I am doing better. Like today, I'm actually doing pretty good. Tomorrow, it can be a completely different story. So, I don't know. I find that kind of different. For me, I actually find that somewhat offensive if somebody tells me, oh, you're looking good today. You must be getting better. Well, I'm sorry, but yeah, I am feeling better today, but it's not better. You know, this is an ongoing problem and it will never go. At least it hasn't. For 42 years, it hasn't gone away. So that's what I have to deal with.
What are the ongoing things that you would like us as your church family to pray for you for?
Well, of course, I still keep hoping, even though I'm 60, but I still keep hoping that someday God will heal me from this pain. I don't understand why he hasn't, just as many of you who are suffering with some sort of pain of whatever pain you're suffering from, why doesn't God heal? There's no pat answer for that, except that I guess it's just not his will for you. There's a purpose. There's a purpose behind it. When I could still work, I, regardless of the pain, I would still come in every day, and one supervisor pulled me over. And he says, Ed, I got up this morning and I had back pain, and I told myself I didn't want to go into work. And then he said, oh, but Ed's got back pain every day and he's always in. I'm going into work. And he just had to tell me that story. So, you know, I had an impact on him, and it was a positive impact. I guess there's probably one other thing that should be mentioned, is that one of my problems was, and that was highlighted to me with this therapist that we had gone to. And one of the things he said is that pain is a third wheel in a marriage. And it took me a long time to realize. It wasn't until 30 months ago that I actually started to realize just exactly what I had done. I had actually married my pain. And that was the third person in our marriage. And when I realized that, then I divorced that pain, and I do my best to shove it off on the side, and that's where I can rebuild relationships again, especially with Adina.
The clock is not our friend today.
No, it's good. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry, please. There is so much more, and I would really encourage those of you who have been listening and there's something that caught your attention just to get a hold of Ed someday and say, hey, are you feeling up to having a cup of coffee? And yes, he likes to go to Tim Hortons, so take him out for coffee, and he likes apple fritters.
Yeah. I'm open. If anybody wants to talk, I'm at home, and I'd be more than willing to talk to anybody. If you have any questions or concerns or just whatever, I'm open to receiving your call.
Been really touched by your honesty in our dialogue about the struggles you've gone through, but also the way that in the midst of this pain, God changed things.
Yeah.
Everything's the same, but everything's changed.
Yes.
I'd like to invite us to do something that maybe is not what we normally do in a Mennonite church. We believe that God cares deeply about everything. And as we read stories of heaven, we see that in heaven there's no more sickness or pain. And for some of it, we've got to wait for that. But we believe that even pain isn't outside of the scope of God. So what I would like to do, Ed, with your permission, is I'd like to have a prayer for healing. Now, we're not demanding that God do anything. We're thanking God for the healing that he has brought to your life as we listen to how he's touched you spiritually. Like to thank God for the healing that has happened in your family, in your circle. And we'd like to also place this in God's hands and say, God, if you'd like to do some healing here, we'd sure be open to that.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're a church family. You need to be a part of this too. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand behind Ed and put my hand on his shoulder. And if you'd like to come and join me, I'd like to invite you to do that and stand up here with me. And as a congregation, we're going to hold Ed before God, thanking God for the healing and placing Ed in God's hands for what comes ahead. So if you'd like to come, I haven't talked to anybody, so you're welcome to. If nobody comes, I'll stand alone, I suppose. But please come if you would like. If you can't reach Ed, just put a hand on someone else who is. For your participation, would you please stand? God, this morning we have been listening as Ed shared about the struggle that he has had in life, the struggle where this pain has taken away so many things, his job, his interaction with many people, the many things he could do, the things he would love to do. God, we've also heard a story about how you have touched Ed's life and brought a spiritual healing, and we are so grateful for that. We ask that you would continue to work a work of healing in Ed's life. Thank you for the healing that happened between Ed and Adina and with the family. And we ask and thank you for the healing also within the congregation, as in the midst of this we have embraced Ed as a brother in this church. God, we continue to hold Ed before you. There are hard days still in his life. And you have made us to long for life, and so we pray that you would touch Ed's body also. But God, we don't reach to twist your arm. We simply place him there. Thank you for the many supportive people who have been there. Thank you for the medical community who have worked hard to be helpful to Ed. Thank you for all those who have supported him. And so God, our prayer for healing is for Ed this morning. It's for all of us, as with whatever struggles we have in life. But this morning, especially, we place Ed in your hands, knowing you love him deeply, asking that you would continue to bring healing to his life. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
This song is, when I heard what the topic was for today, this song just jumped out at me in my heart and in my head and in my prayers. So please read along. If you don't know the melody, please just read along with it. Laura Story is an amazing songwriter of Christian music, and this is one of my favorites. Blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need. Your love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea, and long that we have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds us hard that this is not our home. It's not our home. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it
takes to know you're near. What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life to rain the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Please stand for the benediction. Please stand for the benediction and remain standing for the closing song. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the very face of God shine upon us and be gracious to us. May God's presence embrace us and grant you peace. Amen.
This one's out of the hymnal, so I hope you know it.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way.